Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning my fourth week of teaching on a subject that I've entitled The Fear of the Lord. And I tell you, this has been a great teaching. I've got a brand new album out. This is a CD album entitled The Fear of the Lord. I also have this in DVD as seen on TV. And then we have another one that is a live teaching where I taught this at one of our Gospel Truth seminars in Fort Worth, Texas. And this is a brand new teaching. I really think that this is a prophetic word for the body of Christ right now. I think it is addressing our exact situation, and I really encourage you to please get these materials. This coming Friday is going to be the end of my teaching on the fear of the Lord, and so you need to call or write this week and respond and get this teaching. It's really important. So we're now on our fifth teaching in this five-part set, and this teaching is entitled Fearing God Equals Hating Evil. Let me just go back and read some of these verses, and then I'll continue on from where we were. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth or the lying mouth do I hate. Boy, those are powerful things. You need to hate lying. You know, with our own staff right here, I've had some situations. Again, you know, we have, I don't even know right now, but 230 or more employees. And when you have a lot of employees like this, there's going to be something done that some person has to be called in and you have to address a mistake that they made or something like this. And you know what? We have had people, and I mean, these are Christian people, these are godly people, these are people that are friends of mine who did something wrong. You call them in and talk to them, and when they get pulled on the carpet and held accountable for something, they just flat lied. That amazes me. And one person in particular that I'm thinking of, we knew it was a lie, we confronted them. They had to admit it, and they finally admitted that they lied. And anyway, it's a long, long story, but it goes back to when they were a kid, that they were just beaten, that things happened, and because of it, they just had gotten to where they would say or do anything that would try and appease the situation. And to them, lying wasn't that big of a deal, but it's terrible. I tell you, the Bible says, and Jesus said this in John chapter 8 and verse 44, that Satan is the father of all lies. This is a big deal. And yet there's a lot of people, there's people watching this program that you would lie if it served your purposes. But you know what it is? It actually is a lack of trust in God. Instead of standing for the truth, which Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, His Word is truth. And instead of standing for the truth, you will sit there and lie and manipulate because you don't trust God. You don't trust that He will protect you. And so you have to sit there and manipulate the situation. You will lie about things, misrepresent it. And there are many of you that this is just the way that you were brought up. You know, some of the countries that our Bible school is in, this is just part of the culture. Lying and stealing and manipulating and graft and bribing people. There are people that actually they'll sit there and they'll tell you that they're going to do something and then they'll delay and keep from doing it expecting you to give them a bribe. And this is just the way that they've been raised and they think that this is the way it's supposed to be. Man, this says that that is something that you should hate. And there are people that have just grown up and lying and misrepresenting and doing all of these things are just a part of your culture and you've never given it a second thought. You don't have the fear of the Lord. Again, Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation. That means without hypocrisy. abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's a New Testament scripture that's telling us to abhor evil, not to abhor the people who commit evil, but to abhor evil and cleave to the good. We also used Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, where it says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And that's not talking about that God knows you'll get mad during the day, just get it confessed at night. This is talking about that there is a godly evil that isn't, a godly anger that isn't sin. It's a godly thing, a righteous anger. And you can do that without sinning. You should never let it rest. You should never let the sun go down on it, put it to rest. You ought to keep it alive, woke up. You need to keep yourself stirred up. If you don't keep yourself stirred up, you're gonna settle to the bottom. You need to hate evil. And some of you may not think this way. It may be a stretch for you to look at this, but sickness is evil. Poverty is evil. You need to get to where you hate those kind of things. One of the reasons that some of you aren't seeing the healing come to pass that you're praying for is because you can tolerate it. I think that this is one reason. It's not the only reason, but it's one reason that people in third world countries get healed easier than they do in developed countries, is because in developed countries we have welfare, we have handicap rules and different things, and people are able to handle their sickness. It makes it less of a problem, less of a pressure. They don't hate it as much. They actually can embrace it. I saw a guy one time healed in a wheelchair, and this guy had been paralyzed from his waist down. And I saw him healed, and he was able to kick his legs around, and I said, "Get up out of that chair." And he had gallbladder surgery, and he had a bag on and a tube in him where this was draining. And he said, "I can't stand up. If I stand up, this tube had come out and all this stuff would leak out." And so this is when I first got started in ministry, and I just said, "Okay, well, as soon as you get the tube removed and stuff, then you stand up and start walking." Now I've gotten a lot bolder, and I understand the importance of acting on your faith. I'd have probably yanked him out of that wheelchair and stuck my finger in the hole or put a Band-Aid over it or something. But anyway, the long and the short of it is that for a week or so he waited, and when he finally got this tube removed, he was still in the wheelchair and he wouldn't get out, and he went back and he was completely paralyzed again. And I got to asking him, "What in the world is going on? You know you were healed. You were able to move." And he says, "I've been on welfare for so long. I'm dependent upon it." He had been a sheriff at one time, and he got shot in the spine. That's what caused his paralysis. And he says, "I can't run for sheriff again. I couldn't go get a job. I've never done anything but be sheriff." And he says, "What would I do for a living?" And he had basically rejected his healing in exchange for having government money come in and pay for him so that he wouldn't have to worry about it. See, things like that keep us from acting on our faith. But in third world countries, they don't have some of the same benefits. They aren't going to have somebody give them a handout. They aren't going to be able to live in a house where they have cars and they have flat screen TVs and they have microwaves and all of these things. I mean, these people are starving to death. They're desperate. They're committed to healing. They hate sickness, and because of it, they resist it. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And this is one of the big reasons why people in undeveloped countries get healed easier than they do in developed countries. It's because they hate this. It's destroying their life. They realize the importance of what they're doing. In many of our developed countries, people have adjusted to it. It's an inconvenience. But they don't hate sickness. They don't hate poverty. They don't hate evil, and so they tolerate it. As long as you can tolerate the devil, you will. But when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and just say, "I've gone as far as I'm going to go, and this is the end of it," and you get angry, the Bible says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." The word resist means to actively fight against. And part of that is you need to be angry. You need to be angry at what Satan is using to destroy you. Again, I make a distinction between being angry at the devil and the ungodly things that are happening in your life and angry at the people who Satan is using to accomplish that. Jesus turned around to the very people who were crucifying them and extended mercy towards them and said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was merciful to the very people crucifying him, but he hated the devil. You could read over in, I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 50, and it's prophetic, talking about Jesus, and it says, where is my adversary? Let him come near. Let us take hold together. And that's the attitude that Jesus had entering into the cross. He was merciful towards the very people who crucified him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But towards the devil, he was like, come on, make my day. Let us enter into conflict. He was angry at the devil. He was going to take it to the devil. And I guarantee you, that is a godly attitude. There are some Christians that don't get mad at anything. They have taken the thing about we're supposed to turn the other cheek, which again, we are not supposed to be angry at people. We need to let God fight our battles. But I guarantee you, you need to hate evil. You need to hate evil. You know, I've often used this as an example, that if somebody tried to rob me, it's not about the money. You know, I can get more money. And most people just say, man, don't resist. Just allow these people to do whatever. See, that's the same attitude that caused 9/11 to happen. People with nothing but a box cutter were able to overcome hundreds of people because we had a passive attitude to where we did not hate evil. But after seeing those planes fly into the World Towers and into the Pentagon, did you know that people rose up on that flight that crashed in the Pennsylvania field, and they overcame those people, and it cost them their life, but they resisted evil. And anyway, we've been taught this passiveness that just give the people your money. Just let them have the plane. Let them do whatever and it'll work out better. Now that we know better, you know what? There are people that had I think it was the tennis shoe bomber, and there were some other people. There was an underwear bomber, and some of the people on the plane overcame them and overpowered them and kept them from blowing up the plane and doing the things that they wanted to do because they resisted the devil. You aren't supposed to hate people. But you have to hate the devil that is operating. Like, for instance, I have compassion on people that are poor. I give away lots of money, and I give away lots of money to the poor. But you know what? I will not help a person just live off of begging. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed out begging for bread. It is not a godly thing to beg. Those people need to work. Now, somebody can have a problem, and if so, I've helped lots of people that were in problems. But there are people that the only way they're able to exist and live their lifestyle is because they take advantage of other people. So I've had panhandlers come to me before, and I tell them, go get a job. Well, you got money, you ought to give me some. And I said, I earn my money. You go earn your money. Some people think, well, boy, that's hard and you're mean. Again, I've helped lots of poor people who were trying and just needed help, but I am not going to help somebody. I'm not going to subsidize a lifestyle that will help a person just mooch off of other people. That's wrong. That's not helping that person. That's hurting that person. Amen. I know some of you are shocked, and you're thinking, boy, you are a contradiction to this grace teaching. No, that's grace to tell a person the truth. That's grace to tell a person that, you know what, you couldn't exist the way you are if you spend all of your money on dope and on booze and on cigarettes and other stuff, and yet you're telling me that you're hungry. You quit doing that stuff. You quit buying all the cigarettes. You quit doing the dope. You quit being an alcoholic. And if you took the money that you used on those things to buy food, you could have food and you could have a house and you could have these other things. And by me giving to them and allowing them to continue in that lifestyle, that's not helping that person. Praise God. You need to resist the devil. You need to fight against this. And this is the reason that I was saying that if somebody came and tried to rob me, it's not about the money. Because you know what? God has blessed me and I could get back whatever somebody stole from me. But I am not going to help a person to be able to take advantage of people. I would sit there and tell a person that in Vietnam I was taught how to kill a person with my bare hands. I've never done it, but I was taught how to do it. And I'd tell them, I said, you know what, I may not be able to get all three of you, but I could probably get one of you and kill one of you before you get to my $20 in my wallet. Which one wants to die first? And I guarantee you, I would fight against the evil, not against those people. If one of them got hurt, I would sit there and tell him about the grace of God and minister mercy and you don't have to live this. I would love that person, but I would hate that evil. I am not going to cooperate and help people to live a life of robbery and thievery and stuff like this. I know some of you think, boy, you are just weird. I believe that this is consistent with everything I'm teaching on the fear of the Lord. The only thing it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And I tell you, I'm doing everything I've got to resist the evil, to come against corruption. I am not against people. You know, I've got friends of mine who have had problems with homosexuality, and they're still friends of mine, and I love them, and I treat them good. I'm not mad at these people, but I guarantee you, I've told them that that homosexuality is a sin. It's wrong. It's destroying your life. It's a direct inroad of Satan into your life, and I'll tell people the truth, and I'll resist it, and I'm fighting against that, and yet I love the people. I love people that have struggled with alcohol. I've had people who are friends of mine who are alcoholics, and yet I've loved them and been good towards them while at the same time telling them this is not good. It is destroying your life physically, emotionally, socially, in every way. You know, I've used this verse, I think, already. I'm not sure if I remember everything I teach, but over in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, it says, "You shall not hate your neighbor in your heart, but you shall in any wise rebuke him and not suffer sin upon him." And then the next verse says, to love your neighbor as yourself. It's talking about love, and it says it's love to rebuke your neighbor and not allow them into sin. And again, many people think if you truly love a person, you would never say anything that would hurt them. Many parents do this with their children and think that I want to be my children's friend. You ought to start with being their parent. You ought to teach them what's right and wrong. And if you truly love that child and if you see them living a destructive lifestyle, you ought to do everything you can to try and stop that and not endorse it. I told my children at one point, I told them, I said, the only thing worse than the way you're living is for me to subsidize it. I said, I'll never help you serve the devil. And until there were some changes in their life, I didn't give them any money. I didn't help them. You need to stand against evil. And if you truly love a person, you tell them the truth. I'm saying the things that I'm saying. Some people think this is really hard and that you're a bigot. And I guarantee you there will be all kinds of criticism that comes against me. For those of you who are receiving this, I'd appreciate it if you'd say something nice. Amen. Because we will hear criticism. On our website, there's a place that you can sign our guest book. I read that just about every day. And I'd appreciate some of you supporting us and saying that, yes, we need to have a moral standard. But I can guarantee you there's people that will just immediately pigeonhole me and put me over here with people who have just done terrible things in the name of the Lord and been mean to people. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying these things motivated out of love, that there are many of you watching this program that your lifestyle is destroying yourself. Sure, Satan is destroying you, but you're the one that put the weapon in his hand and loaded it for him and cocked the trigger. You're the one who's allowing him to do all of these things. And I'm telling you because I love you that that lifestyle of homosexuality, the lifestyle of being a drunk, being an adulterer, being a whoremonger, just shacking up with people, these things are destroying your life. God loves you. And I love you just the way you are, but I love you enough that I'm not willing to leave you the way that you are. I'm telling you the truth. These are destructive things. And that's the fear of the Lord, is to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Romans 12:9, I'm letting my love be without dissimulation. I'm telling you the truth. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough to suffer the ridicule and the rejection and the criticism. It's not about me. I'm telling you the truth. This is good for you. When the Lord told us what His standard of right and wrong was, it's because He's the owner. He's the one that created us. He knows what makes you tick. And living ungodly lives do not benefit you. They destroy you emotionally and physically. There are reasons that the Lord said that it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's for your own good, and you need to submit to it. You need to have a fear of the Lord. We need to counter this ungodly culture that people are living in today. And I tell you, this is what I've been doing, talking about the fear of the Lord. I know that there are many of you who've heard me talk on the grace of God, and because of that, you thought, well, I thought God loved me despite what I'm doing. He does. I haven't changed a single thing. He loves you. But He loves you so much, He doesn't want you to continue to live in these ways that just give Satan an inroad into your life. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Sin opens up a door to the devil. It opens up a door to death. The reason you are sick, the reason you're poor, the reason you're condemned, the reason you're miserable, the reason you're depressed is because you've opened up a door to the devil. God loves you. I'm not changing a single thing that I've said about the grace and the goodness of God not being based on our own performance. But I'm telling you, He loves you so much, He told you the truth. And the truth is that these are destructive, ungodly things that give Satan an inroad into your life. And if you yield to sin, you yield yourself to Satan, the author of that sin. And John 10:10 says that the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you open up a door to the devil, he's going to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But if you open up the door to God through obeying Him and following His instructions, you open up the door to an abundant life. God loves you if you're living in sin. But He loves you so much, He's going to tell you the truth. And I believe He's inspired what I'm saying, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about having a fear of God to where you honor His opinion more than you honor the opinion of this world, that you honor His standards more than you honor the standards of this world, where you are committed to God more than you're committed to your own lust and your own pleasures. That's the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is healthy. The fear of the Lord is good for you. I'm not talking about a dread, a terror of God. I'm talking about a love, a respect, an honor, a trust in the Lord. And these things are good for you. Praise the Lord. I've got more to share on this, but I'm going to have to continue on my program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in then, and also listen to our announcer. He's going to tell you about how you can get this brand new teaching on the fear of the Lord. The fourth teaching is what we're offering free of charge this week. It's entitled, Fearing God Equals Hating Evil. Listen to our announcer and then call or write today and receive these materials.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today. If God asked you to leave your comfortable lifestyle, move to one of the most violent parts of the world, and be a living example of His love and grace, would you say yes? Meet world changer Dennis Stauffer, CBC graduate, class of 2006. Dennis answered God's call on his life, attended Caris Bible College, and moved to an area of Guatemala where even the police were afraid to go. In just 3 short years of practical ministry, the truth that Dennis learned at CBC has literally transformed this part of Guatemala. Lives have been changed, crime and violence have decreased, and police have returned to the area. CBC graduate Dennis Stauffer, he's changing lives in Guatemala. Change your life. Change the world. Log on to CarisBibleCollege.org for more information on how you can become a world changer. Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Fear of the Lord was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Fearing God Equals Hating Evil free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas this week for a Gospel Truth seminar February 9th through the 11th, in Humble, Texas on Sunday, February 12th, in Seattle, Washington for a Gospel Truth rally February 17th, in Portland, Oregon for a Gospel Truth rally February 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Caris Bible College Campus Days March 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar March 29th through the 31st, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar April 12th through the 14th, and in Colorado Springs for the Better Way to Worship Conference April 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.